If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day everyone, and welcome once again to the Super Footy Podcast. Anthony Hudson with you, along with our regular team, our finals team, or is it our team for the bye? I'm not sure, but Mick Warner and Sam Edmund are with us as we look back on the final round of Home and Away Footy. Sammy?
Good to be here, hello, and good of you to make it back to spick and span from that mission to Perth.
Yes,
you look good, you look fresh.
I had to go and farewell Pav, which was
That would have been very emotional.
Well, the farewell was far more interesting than the game, I've got to say.
I didn't see any of the game.
It was not one to get the old saying about get on the old DVD.
Always seems to be the way with you, and yet you missed a classic. I've got to say, Hawthorn and Collingwood was one of, and this gets thrown around with the worst games too, but one of the games of the season.
A game for the ages?
It actually was. I was there as well.
Certainly one of the better games.
You weren't expecting it.
High score. I watched a bit of it last night.
Ebbed and flowed, tight. You know, just every time Hawthorn got out to a bit or Collingwood got out to a bit, the other team would peg him back. Great high scoring, had a bit of everything, including a bit of late drama, which we'll get to.
Well, now let's get to it now, because Sammy Edmund wrote the big story in the pre-season. Admittedly, it doesn't matter. This is bigger than that. And Sammy wrote in January that Jack Fitzpatrick would be the secret solution to Hawthorn's four-peat chances. He copped it for 8 months, and you never gave up, did you, Sammy? And when Jack went back and bombed it from 60, well, maybe 70, really.
On the run,
why'd you take my phone off me?
I don't know.
Thank you.
What you're trying to ask, Mick, is what's the smell, and it's the smell of redemption. And it's the smell of Fitzy guiding Hawthorn towards a fourth consecutive premiership.
And the headline was, if the cap fits.
Yeah, and it's fitting at the moment.
It fits.
So they've won the flag, have they? So you're right.
Well, it was one.
Didn't say they would win the flag. I just said he would be the, I guess, the replacement for superstar Jared Ruffhead. I think it was the wild card replacement. Anyway, it's a bit of a shallow beacon rewind for the critics out there.
Congratulate you.
Yep. Allow me a little bit of self-indulgence.
No, well done. Well done, Sammy.
Thank you very much.
But it was a good result, because it's given us the Geelong Hawthorn game. If Collingwood had got up, that would have sort of thrown the finals into chaos, and it also
As
gave
a
us.
Hawthorn hater, though, you must be unhappy with the fact that they're
not a hater. I'm bored of Hawthorn, and I think most people in the community who don't barrack for them would hope that someone other than Hawthorn won the premiership.
Love's not the right word. I respect Hawthorn and admire them incredibly.
Yes.
But I did not want them to get a double chance.
No.
But now they have.
So, but it also gives us
first week.
The Battle really of the Bridge. The Battle of the Bridge
Promoters
is huge.
Number one.
Except where it's played, which is unfortunate. Hard to get there. But that will be a cracker as well.
Mm. No, they've said obviously crowds is the only reason.
Crowds.
How many members of GWS got?
10,000? No, maybe 19,000, I think.
Have they?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay. It's the remnants of the deal, though, isn't it? It's still a remnants of the
Trelaw deal. Oh, sorry, I thought you were getting onto that already.
The Scully deal.
Don't bring Gabby Allen into it, yeah. No, it's the remnants of the previous agreement. So,
going to be a good final series, but we've got to come to that later, don't we?
Yeah, I think
because
so.
There's some matters up north that we have to tend to.
Well, as we go to tape and to air, depending on how you're consuming this in the modern world of multimedia, we're just waiting for confirmation that Justin Lepich, the decision has been made on his future, and all reports seem to be that he's gone. Mm. I think you're not accepting that yet.
No, I'm not.
There's some grumblings on Twitter.
In fact, now I am, actually.
What's happened, Mick?
I think there's been a statement put out from the Lions chairman, Bob Sharpless. Just talk amongst yourselves.
Who has proven, Hutto, not to be Sharpless at all. In fact, he's razor sharp.
Justin,
he's gone. Shing!
Thank you very much. Justin presented to the board as part of review, and he was impressive. But
right, that's where it ends. So we still don't really know.
What?
Obviously not impressive enough.
What? So we're left dangling with that. So this is good podcasting, boys. Really good.
Well, I think it's a mistake. If he is sacked. I think it's a mistake, personally.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, so, Hutto, Mick, you're happy with 15th, 17th, and 17th in his
season. Not happy with it, but Alistair Clarkson would have struggled to make a bigger impact this season.
The way that they... Unfortunately, maybe it wasn't all his fault, but the way they weren't able to get the senior, he wasn't able to get the senior players on side. The way they were demoralised, the way they were absolutely smashed and trounced in a lot of games.
All right, it's confirmed now.
What did Bob Sharpless' second phase of his tweet?
Well, the first bit just said he presented. That's not.
And
anyway, that's sad because
we're struggling
he's a good
with
man.
Their tweeting as well, Brisbane.
What else did Bob say? Going well here.
Jeez, Mick.
Yeah.
Really dropped the ball here, mate.
We might need a little bit of editing before we go.
tell me though about this so-called secret ballot
that's ridiculous.
Seemed to be odd.
If that's true, that
well,
you
Andrew
need
a Hamilton,
hang on,
a senior.
He's been released from the remainder of his contract. Don't you love the words, the semantics around when people get sacked? Remember when Grant Thomas, they announced that he was gone? It was Grant Thomas has been terminated. Like was he completely killed or something?
That was also farcical that Grant Thomas got terminated, I must say. But look, the secret ballot. That can't be true.
Why not?
You don't need a secret ballot. It's not the United Nations where we're trying to.
It works.
This is a coach.
It works on Survivor.
A board can make.
It's time to go. That's a big.
Well, we could have a secret ballot for the podcast.
For what? We're going
to. One's got to go.
One's got to go.
Let's do it now.
I'm out.
No, we'll do it now.
The tribe has spoken.
All right. I've written mine. You write yours.
I've got a pen. Got...
All right, and then I'll collate the votes.
I've got mine.
Okay,
got mine.
I'll be the judge. Hutto's out. He's voted himself off the island. Sam, I voted you out. And all right, no one's
and
out.
I voted
it's a draw.
One vote. That just about sums
No, seriously, if you need a secret ballot to make a decision, that's a farce because a board must make a united decision, even if others on it are. Not of the same view.
Yep.
Majority wins. Anyway, it's sad. So who coaches Brisbane?
Well, I think it's a very good question. I would say on top of the list for me, this stage would be John Barker and Stuart Dew. That would be the two I would put at the top of the list. But the process hasn't started. David Noble, going down that path, I reckon that's equally possible. I think they'll target him strongly as someone to be involved, whether that be as coach or... as a head of football, because that's obviously the other part that is going to change, you would think. So, but I mean, really, we don't know. We really shouldn't guess because history says that we get it wrong when we guess.
I was just going to say, I reckon that the media's strike rate with a lot of things is reasonably good. With picking new coaches, abhorrently incorrect. They come from all over the place.
Yes, but now the level four, there's only 20 guys who can get the job. Not when the AFL are. Pretty much running the club.
Well, Gil talked about in his more jovial interview on the weekend that they will play a part, but ultimately Brisbane...
Visibility. He'll have some visibility.
That concerns me a little bit. Barker, actually, if you're asking me. Johnny Barker. No,
here we go.
Some real
this is the Carlton. Mm. Yeah.
They took your tie off from him.
He played for Hawthorn?
No. Oh, what? Sorry. He played for Hawthorn.
And Fitzroy,
so...
I believe.
And Fitzroy. Yeah. So what are you talking about?
He was an assistant under Clarko.
But you got to know him when you were the Carlton media man.
And Ross Lyon at St Kilda.
Is there a chance if he gets the job that you will put on the Brisbane
I'll be pitching for a tie.
Their post-match show.
Melbourne functions.
I'll be saying it'd be a good idea to get a line out on the ground as well. A live
one.
Anyway, so yes...
Well, that'll be the only one, will it, Mick? That we think the only coach that might.
Well, there's usually there's always one that comes out of the blue at this time of the year, and I'm not ruling it out. I don't think.
What? You think Harbick's in trouble?
No, I just think it's not completely unfeasible.
So he's in
that
a little
he would
bit of
be.
Trouble.
I would have thought after that rubbish they served up at the weekend and with the review that it's not a lay down misere, but.
Don't think I'm speaking out of school here. I went to a Bucks on the weekend and bumped into someone, an employee from Ernst Young, who was at the Bucks. I said, oh, you guys are doing the review.
Ernst and Young.
Well, okay, Ernst and Young. It's a symbol and, isn't it? Mm. So, Ernst and Young.
So you're not speaking out of school. But if he told you something in confidence, then anyway. Keep
no.
So an Ernst Young guy on a Bucks party.
Yes, and I said, you guys are doing the review in a Richmond. He was a footy head, and he goes, yeah, I know, I'm trying to find out about it, but I can't. It's like this is a small elite team within the company that are doing everything, and it's like a vault. They're like a little... Sort of
really?
Little clique that get around, little cult, and no one's
cult of herd.
No one is saying anything. So, It's been thorough, though, hasn't it?
It's a very serious review, and it's not just about can he kick on his left foot or is he a good coach. It's about culture and behaviours and yes, and all that sort of stuff, and which I think is great. It's what Geelong did in 06, was it? And interestingly enough, Brendan Gale was seen having a coffee with Bomber Thompson last Wednesday in Port Melbourne, which set a few alarms off. But in the end, all he was doing was asking about the review and what did you do and how did it work. And because Geelong had a lot of honesty sessions during that period, like with Gary Ablett, and it worked wonders.
Yeah, they interviewed everyone who had a link to the footy club, pretty much. Player managers and all sorts of people.
And it is off the record, and you can express your view to Ernst and Young. So, look, these things can...
EY, we call it. EY. connected to the
business,
we call it EY.
Anyway, yeah, so there'll be another one. There will be another one.
Another what?
Another coach.
Another coach.
Well, that's the only other... him.
No, that's not right. It could be anyone.
Who else would you have?
It happens every year.
Who else would you have sacked, year. Mick?
It doesn't happen.
I don't know.
No, well, I'm going to go through the teams. Adelaide, okay. No way. Brisbane's been done. Carlton, no way.
Okay.
Collingwood, you never know.
What
Essendon, no way. Fremantle, no way.
You're forgetting about the poach. If Brisbane's going to go and get a coach, why don't they go? I mean, I look at the name Brad Scott, North Melbourne, for example, off the top of my head. Something
you just
like
plucked
the,
that one out, did you?
No, I'm just saying.
Just plucked that one out of thin air.
The fact that there is now a job up for grabs could mean that that coach could come from
different.
Another club. No, it's not different.
Sackings.
I'm saying.
You were talking about sackings?
No, it's the same thing. There'll be a vacancy, sacking, secret ballot,
so
whatever you want to call it.
There's more chance than less chance that there'll be another coach gone.
I'm putting it on, I'm just going to calculate it quickly. It's a 35% chance that there will be another job come up for grabs.
35. You're like,
35.3
reoccurring.
Do you agree?
No.
Recurring. Okay, well.
I think 20.
Okay, 15. So
I don't know what
so you're telling me there's a chance.
I don't know what you mean by it happens every year. 10%, it doesn't happen every year.
Okay, well, anyway.
I love it when Mick holds a bit back when he knows more.
All right, well, we'll wait and see what happens with that. What about the weekend?
What about it?
What did it... I mean, there's some sides that clearly didn't show up, Tigers and the D's, others that had a crack.
Well, it was a dress rehearsal, wasn't it, for a good sort of four or five sides we think can win the premiership, and probably the worst dress rehearsal was Hawthorns.
And yet they got the job done.
And yet they got the job done against some pretty good opposition, has to be said. Collingwood finished the year really well, really smartly, but then you think 24 hours before that game, Geelong hammered Melbourne, and we saw what Sydney did, obviously, to a Richmond side who didn't bother to fly north.
Geelong and Sydney have had a pretty soft entree into the finals,
They have, but
Well, North played Sydney two weeks ago.
Yeah, they didn't play particularly well that day, Sydney.
West Coast was the win out of the box. Oh. That threw the finals up in the air. That was amazing.
On its head.
Barass.
Yep.
Barass has only played 11 games, but he may as well be Barassi.
Put an eye on the end of it.
Yep. And McGovern as well back there. Lost Nick Nat. I thought no chance.
All that means but now
Jonathan
is that...
Giles. What about his game?
Yep.
How did Hurdy let him go? That's a serious question.
Yeah, okay. Hurdy let himself go.
Hurdy was gone before Giles was gone. I think.
Hurdy let himself go. Although he wasn't a fan of Johnny Giles.
No, but
that's
he
my
targeted
point.
Him and recruited him and then didn't play.
Then realised, hang on a minute, well,
that's
this
my guy's
absolutely no good.
Okay.
But does that mean the Western Bulldogs are staring down the barrel of just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, you're out?
It certainly looks like, well, I saw them play yesterday and they look like a 14th team yesterday.
Is Tom Boyd injured?
He is injured, yeah.
Badly?
No, I think he'll play. Right. He came back, he played the second half of the game, so it was an ankle, which he'd hurt the week before, so it's one of those ones where the ligaments are stretched already, but...
Tell you what, they probably wish they got John Patton, not Tom Boyd.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
I need to roll with my first, is it just me?
Well,
just on this, actually.
Yeah, well, I wanted...
You
know,
yeah,
go
ahead.
No, you go. I wanted to...
Secret ballot?
Patton. I've got two, no. But my first, is it just me, concerns the Western Bulldogs and principally their coach, Luke Beveridge. Now,
what?
Is it just me, or is Luke Beveridge off his head complaining about the fixturing of having a final on a Thursday? He's lucky they've gotten to Thursday.
Did he really complain about it, though? Like, was it...
Wasn't it more,
we'd much rather have the Saturday night because we need those days to get our players up. We can't fight City Hall. That's just the way it is.
He put it on the agenda, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Oh, it was the funniest press conference.
I've seen the sound bites of it.
It wasn't funny for him, but he was saying there was no positives out of the game whatsoever.
Yep.
It was roles completely reversed to usual. And the journos were saying, oh, what about Boyd? Didn't he play well? Oh, no, not really. No, he didn't do this. What about him? Wasn't
the journos were trying. What were they doing? They should have just taken the bait.
They didn't really know how to cope with the coach being like that, and I was trying to get some positives out of it.
What he's saying is obviously because Libba's in a race against time, Jack McRae is in a race against time. They got these guys.
Jake Stringer in a race against time.
They got these guys that need every bit of time they can get. But he's lucky they're not playing this weekend. Any other year he'd be playing this weekend. So he's lucky he's got the extra 4 days. So to complain about it, I thought, was a little
bit. You just admitted you hadn't watched it. So go and watch it in full and then report back to us.
What he said is what he said.
Yeah.
No, I saw that.
That's fair enough. I think the Bulldogs really have done an incredible job given the injuries they've had, but they've tipped over
the threshold.
They just tipped over that edge, which I think happens to all teams when they
happened to Richmond, unfortunately, on Saturday.
When they lose a certain number of players. their inability their selection will be really interesting. They played Minson yesterday with Ruffhead injured. Obviously, Ruffhead will come back. Minson was against Sandilands and didn't do much to make you think that he'll play, but maybe they need to actually go with an. Actually play Minson as well and play another tall because on that ground they just had no way of getting it out of defence and into attack. They had no targets on the way out. Fremantle just locked them up and they were ordinary.
You'd like to think that was just an anomaly, and you'd like to think they'll go back there in 10 days' time.
Well, the best thing is they've just played the ground, so at least they should understand what they need to do on the ground.
Surely they'll bring the heat on Thursday, they have to.
Yeah, I hope so, because they've had a fantastic year. But can I just do my, is it just me? I don't know whether, have you done yours yet or not?
Yes, I've done one of two.
One of two. Oh, yours
I just did it.
You just did it, yes. Mine is Matthew Boyd. Why would they, he's been named in the All-Australian 40. Why is his future in doubt?
Yep, can't believe it.
I didn't know it was.
Well, it is.
Well, he hasn't been contracted, so by rights, I suppose.
But you wait till the end of the year on those.
Hey, there's a few balls in the air, i.e. maybe there's a T cloak, maybe there's some other players coming and going. Maybe it's just all about...
There is feeling, though, that his future is severely under threat.
I wasn't aware of this.
Yeah. That's the feeling I'm getting.
Ooh,
right.
Well, I
just can't believe that...
As you say, in the All-Australian squad, That's ridiculous.
He's shown no signs of slowing down. I think everything he's done has been outstanding in defence. And they're, if they're ready to strike for a flag, which hopefully they will be next year, then you just keep him.
Yep.
Well, maybe.
Just as well he's been there this year because they've had absolutely no half-back flankers at all apart from him.
I mean, I guess you're looking at
their... an Achilles issue for a while.
They're going to have trouble holding their players. I think that's fair because of the depth they've got over the next couple of years, given that Tommy's getting a fair whack.
Unless they've got a half-back flank that they're eyeing off...
Do you know any halfback flankers?
Well, there's one at Richmond.
There's a couple.
And you know of one as well. But anyway, yes, that's very intriguing.
Anyway, what about yours? Is it just me?
I haven't got one.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
So your Beacon rewind is that you need to have an, is it just
me? I can fill in with another one, actually, because the All-Australian squad of 40s just came out. I don't know when I'm supposed to be talking about that.
Yeah, talk about it. I'll go...
Yeah.
Well, my is it just me is... Is it just me, or is Patrick Cripps one of the most unluckiest players to make it in?
You're saying this is a Carlton...
In the 40!
...staff member, or as a serious independent journalist?
Number one, clearances. Number two, contested ball.
He had a flat middle part of the year.
Mate, look at the numbers, and then come back and tell me that he shouldn't be in the All-Australian 40. Just because
you
I think...
You can't just be a numbers man. You've got to be more than that.
Well, he's number one in the comp, and number two in the comp in another...
Zach Merritt missed out, and he had a far bigger year.
He's incredibly stiff. No, probably on a par.
Look, you can't squeeze 60 into 40.
Who would you take out, then?
Well, I reckon, actually... I think Tom Scully is very fortunate to be in.
What?
I think...
Magnificent year. He's playing on the wing. Yeah, it's like position. For like.
It's a midfielder for a midfielder.
Well,
I think
a wing.
Scott Pendlebury's like a wing.
I think that's a reasonable call. I think Pendle's had a good year considering he had busted ribs at the start of the year.
I reckon a bit of reputation might come into play in a couple of these.
Well, that'll be the story that goes online, you two saying that Pendlebury shouldn't be there.
Hutto wrote Pendlebury down on the paper, so I said I agreed.
It was Edmund slams Pendlebury.
Look at him. He's writing it down. Look at him. He's already onto it. No, I think Pendlebury's a super player. What a champion. Hi, Pendles.
He's pretty good. I'll tell you who
he won't be in the
unbelievable yesterday, and he had zero possessions in the first quarter.
Treloar.
his last quarter, three quarters. The first time I've gone, yeah, you know what? That's
the first
worth
time.
Two first round draft picks.
I said that on here and you scoffed at me.
Oh, I've retracted it.
Another Beacon rewind.
But he wasn't worth Tim Gold's as well.
But he had 13 possessions in that.
All game. Having to get, you know,
how good was that goal that put him in front?
That was a sensational goal.
And apparently he goes down to a little oval in I think it's Hampton or something during the week, because you're not allowed to kick for goal more than 10 times at training, you know, in the AFL. You'll get, but he goes down and does it there.
Good on him.
And does it
takes
a 100
six pack
times
down there as well, because he's not allowed to drink. And
he's a much better player than I thought. I thought he was a very good player, but he's better
he's
than
a
bull.
Good player. Dane Swan wasn't there yesterday. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, why was that?
Well, he doesn't like football. That's what someone told me. But I would have thought he'd be there to.
He was on the banner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he was on the banner, he didn't have to attend.
Speaking of banners, it was good to see that Essendon Cheer Squad had a good sense of humour, or else they just fell into the same thing as Freo the week before, because they had Patrick Ambrose 50 solid games following up from David Mundy's 50 solid games.
That has to be a P take, doesn't it?
I hope so.
Solid games. David Mundy. You'd argue he'd probably meant a little bit better than that.
Yeah, just off Twitter.
I remember why is it just me, but you go first.
Why do the teams who finished... We're just going all over the shop today, so we're just wacky and random today. Why do the teams who finished... fifth and sixth get the longest break into week two. Rubbish. That's from Twiggy Flow.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the reasoning behind this, and the AFL did provide it, didn't they, in their finals fixturing announcement. It all boiled down to crowds and TV audiences, and but really, it was all just sounded like gobbledygook to me. It was all just, we sat around the mahogany and we plucked them out and they're
did
going.
Did a secret ballot.
Yeah, secret ballot. It's time to go Western Bulldogs on Thursday. Yeah, it's odd. It's odd, but...
It's tough for Bulldogs fans to try and get to Perth for a Thursday night game. Yeah. Not that they would have been worried about that too much for the first week. But yeah, Adelaide North get the full break.
Is it more to do with the following week, having the 7 days the following week? I think someone was trying to explain.
Well, everyone gets that, don't they? Well, virtually everyone, because I suppose not seven if you're going to play on Friday night.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, it could be to do it. Yeah, they were definitely playing ahead and look to see who will go to where.
If you're good enough, you win. I mean, I don't think, you know. Thursday, as we said, it's a 10-day break.
Is it just me, or is the elevation of Gubby Allen to Collingwood football boss and the demotion of Neil Baum a disgrace?
Why is it a disgrace?
In several ways, but mostly just the disrespect to Neil Baum, who, Hutto, you could tell us, did up wonders at Geelong in that job. He was headhunted by Collingwood. And then to find out last week that the way this all went down is quite intriguing. 10 days ago at the Pullman Hotel, which is the old Hilton opposite the MCG, Gubby Allen was holding a meeting with Nathan Buckley. And it was quite an interesting meeting. They were talking about lists and players. And halfway through that meeting, Scott Penderby turned up. And there was a lot of punters in the bar. God knows why you would hold this meeting there. And then Buckley leaves and Penderbury stays and has the same conversation. So word filtered back to the Herald Sun, as it would, that something's going on. The official line was, well, it was a club day off and they just didn't want to go to the club. They'd rather go somewhere nice and have a coffee, which I wasn't buying. But they denied at the time.
You never buy.
Well, turned coffees. It was probably the start of his reign as the football boss. And there's something unsavoury about it all, if you ask me.
Well, yeah, I mean, Collingwood will argue that it's not a demotion for Neil Baum. Clearly it is, but...
Well, if he's now reporting to Gubby...
Yeah, no, clearly it is. But, I mean, what they will argue is that this is a position that's very important. That's one that...
What's that?
Well, the director of coaching, or the man who's linking the coaching, all that sort of stuff. But they've got... I'm not saying it's the right decision, but they've got every right, given how they've gone, to restructure their footy department, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, because it's Neil Baum's fault. You're right.
So what happens if at the end of the Richmond review, Dan Richardson's not there? You're going to say, oh, it wasn't Dan's fault.
Well, it's slightly different
issue.
Well, I would have thought Collingwood's issues were mainly to do with injury and coaching, and that's why they're changing their coaching setup. Getting your mate Brenton Sanderson in there. Whereas...
Sorry, that was a bit of a score.
Anyway, I just think it's... I don't like it.
You haven't really explained
it. I haven't. I can't say what I really want to say, to be honest.
Why?
Because Justin Quill won't let me.
So okay. When do you think
Justin Quill is the lawyer for the Herald Sun?
When do you think Barmy will start at Richmond?
I'm not sure he definitely will, but he should.
You don't think he'll stay at Collingwood though, do you? Brisbane will be into him.
It's interesting.
Maybe Brisbane's a good place for him to
Buckley's
go.
Buckley's press conference after the game, Barmy walks in and he's there a good 10 minutes before Buckley walks in. It's like, well, this hasn't happened before. So we're talking to Barmy and he's having a laugh and a joke and, you know, yeah, we finished well, blah, blah, blah. And then you could tell all the journos were sitting there thinking, crap, we've got to ask Buckley about Barmy and Gary Allen. How are we going to do this?
And Barmy's there.
Or Barmy was
so
there.
So who asked the question?
I think it was Benny Guthrie came in.
Yeah, I knew it wouldn't have been you.
So well, Barmy was right next to me, and I know he puts a good sleeper hold on, so I didn't really want to be within reach of the great man.
There, Sammy.
And what was the answer?
But I actually ended up asking Bucks an innocent question that provided the fireworks for the spat between he and Grant Thomas.
Grant Thomas, so what happened there? He said, I'm going to some college.
I just said, a lot of coaches go overseas. What do you got planned? He said, oh, yeah, college system, and we'll go and, you know, we haven't got everything right, but any little advantage you can get, well, we think we've got a lot of things right, but we'll seek to have a look at some things. And Tomo just went berserk on Twitter, didn't he?
Unlike Tomo, isn't it?
Really? Oh, really unlike him. Really.
So getting back to your point, though, you're saying that it's fair enough to shaft Neil Baum.
I wouldn't say shaft.
But or to remove him. Because of the fact... How long has he been there? Two seasons?
Listen about to that, the
yeah. You seriously think that that's...
Mick, I think... You're being a bit silly.
Okay.
Well, when things
what
don't
was you
go...
Playing? I don't know, what was
no,
you
so you're saying that he's the scapegoat, basically. Let's move him out.
He won't be the only change, surely.
You just said they're making a heap of changes to their coaching and everything. I'm not saying it's the right decision. As I said, I'm just saying they've got every right to make it. I mean,
look, I acknowledge it's a difficult thing to talk about, Hutto. So let's move on to the next topic.
It's just making no sense. That's why it's difficult. What about the other trade... we haven't spoken since Brent Harvey and all that went down either.
No.
I'm that bored of the O'Meara Prestia stuff, really. I mean,
you shouldn't be, because O'Meara's going to be...
We're going to be talking about it for a
let's find some new names.
He's a pretty good player. But their futures are yet to be solidified, so they'll be talked about until they find new clubs.
What do you think of the system that now...
Love it.
The way things have now changed, where players are just moving even though they're not free agents... Does the system need... I'm not saying there's an easy way to adjust this, but Gold Coast are left with absolutely no leverage whatsoever. Despite what Gil said to me on the weekend, that they've got, because they've got a lot of other draft picks, they've got leverage. In terms of trying to get the best result for Jager O'Meara, their only leverage is the threat of going into the pre-season draft, which in this case is not great leverage because Jager can go to Essendon.
Yeah, and if Jager's happy to go to Essendon, then yeah, they haven't got... Jack to play with, have they?
So is this not going to keep happening potentially to those clubs? And it's all very well to say, oh, they've just got to get their act together. And that's true to a degree. But while these sides, and I think GWS will be in the same position in 10 years' time.
With 10 premierships.
We'll have 10 premierships. But what we've seen with the Brisbane Lions, it means nothing once you get down further down the track.
No. If you're not winning, then you're in all sorts of trouble.
But I think you've just answered your own question because you want to make your club a destination where people want to stay and no one's walking out on GWS. Whereas the Gold Coast have failed. Yeah, but the Gold Coast should be
in
the window, so they can only blame themselves.
Yeah, no, I agree with that to a large degree. But what I'm saying is this could happen to any other club now. Is if a 23-year-old just wants to leave, I don't want to stay anymore, I'm going to go, and what can clubs do?
I think the postcode's a massive factor. And that's where I felt a little
bit. You've just had a Bucks party in the Gold Coast. It's a great place.
Yeah, but... If you love your footy,
all those players have left, haven't they?
You want to play on the G. You want to play. You want to be right in the heart of it, not playing in front of 15,000 people and getting your rehab done in portables.
How do you explain the Brisbane Lions triple premiership run?
Because they were winning. They were winning. They wanted to stay. Exactly. That's right.
And in an 18-team competition, it's hard to be winning.
With all those draft picks and $2 million in the salary cap and yada,
they don't
yada,
have
yada.
Them anymore, though. They don't have those advantages anymore.
They do. As you just said, they have six picks inside 30.
No, that's
this
only
draft.
Because of the trading. And that
they're still six picks.
These days, and don't forget, player movement's a lot easier now than what it was in the Brisbane Lions. You can just up and leave like you can now. So I felt, even though he put it very crudely, Tony Cochran, I could empathise with, because he doesn't want to be in charge of a club. It's just a feeder club, a training ground for Victorian clubs, for Victorian kids who want to go home after a couple of years because they've got such a gross lack of local talent to pick from and therefore retain. So it's a really difficult one.
So why isn't Gold Coast as good as GWS?
Oh, many reasons.
Well, injury's been one, but there's no doubt they haven't got their drafting right.
Didn't recruit
self-inflicted.
The right mature age players.
They didn't get as many benefits as GWS. GWS got more picks. Mm-hmm. Mm. And, you know, those, we just don't know. The years that they had to pick from, they just may not have been as good as GWS, yeah, who had 2 years to pick from.
Mm.
So you don't accept that?
Oh, no, I think that GWS is proof that Gold Coast went down the wrong road and didn't do as good a job.
I agree their strategy wasn't as good, but they didn't have as many benefits. And if the year they've got, the players aren't as good, that's not really their fault.
Mm. And then it sounds going to be hard for them. So if players, and Cochrane, it sounds as though might have made a bet, he's going to have to lie in now with his comments and the way he sort of conducted himself up there in recent days. Might have put a few more players offside.
Maybe, yeah.
How's that put players offside?
Well, we can't... safe to say that some of the players weren't happy with how the comments that he made
about Amira
being disloyal, showing a lack of loyalty. We did everything for him. We thought he was a better person, yada, yada, yada. They think he might be a little bit behind the times. So, anyway, that's what the club, in an off-field sense, actually need up there. They do need a voice, and they do need someone who's prepared to have a crack, which he definitely is one. But is it at the expense of...
Will they be able to attract any players? Because they have to.
They need a player for Amira.
Well, they need two players at least to go to that midfield.
I don't know how they're going to get it.
Neither do I. What do you like in the midfield, Sammy?
Very out wide.
sort of Peter Matera mid-90s.
Well, you wanted to talk about other names then. What are some other names that...
I don't know. Travis Cloak, that's another name.
Gee, we haven't talked about him much this year. How did he go yesterday, Cloak?
I thought he was okay. Great. He took a massive... pack hanger.
He did one where he almost took one as well.
Didn't have the glove on.
Definitely gone.
Kicked
though.
Okay.
Definitely gone.
Is he?
100% gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Yep.
Where to? Richmond?
I reckon there's three clubs. Ooh. Red Hot and Rhonda. And one of them is Richmond.
One of them is the Bulldogs.
One of them is the Bulldogs.
That'd be the best match.
And there's another club that will surprise you, but we might expose them later in the week.
Okay, what about Boomer?
Will he play on? Will he be offered the chance to play on somewhere else?
Why wouldn't he be? He's probably been there. Tarrant will win their BNF, you'd think, but he might finish second or third.
I think Mick Maltese put it actually quite well over the weekend, is that, you know, before this decision was made, no one would have been sitting there thinking, oh, let's go and get Boomer. But now that Boomer's out, I reckon you get those top clubs at the pointy end thinking, can we possibly top up with Boomer? The numbers and everything were great. His longevity shows no sign of...
Dogs, to me, would be the obvious one as to what he can provide. Cats are looking for a small forward too, even though they've sort of got a few.
Cats were not surprising, except there's the Scott factor there.
Yeah.
But I know, they're different. They're
Scott
own
factor?
Well, they're their own men.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, but they've shown the same, what's the word, tendency to
get rid of older,
players.
Yeah.
And I don't think Chris Scott would be interested in getting Boomer, but I hear... Now, the Cats might be interested in Brett Delidio, who provides a bit of outside.
Cool.
So maybe
they need pace. So they're looking for pace. There's no doubt. Gary Rowan, they were a very good chance.
So he does fit that bill.
Yeah.
Delidio at Geelong. That would be
we've got nothing
outrageous.
To give you. Can you just give him to us? Because we ain't got much.
What's your first pick?
He gave it up to Carlton.
So you don't have one. So he's not going there.
Gave it up for Henderson.
Did you think that in hindsight, watching the game, the Boomer decision with the other guys flattened the team out?
Hard to know.
They were pretty flat.
Yeah, it was a weird sort of game.
They didn't have their usual sort of... They weren't hunting the opposition. They weren't in their face like they had been previously.
There's no doubt it would have had an emotional impact on the group. It was a flat sort of game, a flat sort of performance.
They've been poor for a while, though.
They hung in for a while. Better the week before than they were. So I think the week off will be something. You know, they'll have one chance North to reboot, and Adelaide are a little bit wounded after what happened, but they've also got 2 weeks to sort of get their stuff together, and you'd be surprised if Adelaide didn't come out. I wouldn't write Adelaide off yet completely. I think their system is the big question now, whether what Geelong have done and now what West Coast have done can be replicated by other teams.
No doubt it can. Absolutely.
But they had a stinker as well.
Shocking.
And if you're terrible around the ball and you fumble and you have those sort of nights, it doesn't matter what system you've got, you're not going to win.
Yeah, that's true. Teams are staying at home, though, now, aren't they, more often against Adelaide. Yeah. They're denying them that over the back, your Jenkins, your Betts, getting out the back, Tommy Lynch. So you're right, West Coast did it with McGovern, Geelong did it with, you know, Harry Taylor. North Melbourne have got that sort of player. You know, they've got a Scotty Thompson.
Are you in the Brad Scott botched it camp, like some are saying, or are you in my camp, which was... Boomer forced their hand, and so it was largely Boomer's fault, the fact that it came out the way it did.
You're talking about the timing
the timing.
Or the decision itself?
The timing.
I think their hands were tied with the timing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, and I think I certainly, it's hard to be critical for someone who's just being honest when they're asked a question, but I wouldn't have given them an answer. I just think we haven't
lied to them. Then you're damned if you do, Dan.
Supposedly, you just said, I'm not leaving this office until you tell me.
No, well, you just say we've got to wait and see what happens in the finals. And that's...
Chained himself to
that's
the...
That's what I would have...
You could say, what if we win three finals, Boomer, and then that changes the whole outlook.
Yeah, I think it's a guts. It's a really gutsy decision, and I'm not saying... I actually think it's probably the right decision, but I definitely don't think it needed to be finalised until after the finals. I don't see what's the advantage
in that. That's probably true. It is weird that they're talking about resets and premiership windows being closed whilst they're in the finals.
Yeah.
Great. Like, there's 10 other teams that would just kill for that opportunity, but maybe they're just being realists.
Yeah, I think that decision actually has come more recently than you may suspect too. I think North might have sat down as recently as only a couple of weeks ago and thought, you know what, this isn't... It hasn't been planned a long way out. I think they've sat down maybe 2-3 weeks ago, what I was told, and said, right, this isn't working. We've got to get it out, get some young players in.
Mm.
So it's been a relatively recent
Well, I think the way they can, if they could land, say, Jager, then that would revitalise, because there's a lot of angry North fans, and if they don't
is
do
it?
Much...
A I lot think of anger. Is. Oh, yeah. But the decision.
About the way it was made and all that sort of stuff. So just like they, I think, well, they got 45,000 members.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. How many of them are going to not become members next year if they think that... No, they think that they're now going to go down to the bottom again. Mm. Well, they're only at 22,000 now.
You only be a member when you're going well, do you?
No, but...
That's the Carlton mentality. It's why Sam hasn't had a membership for 20 years.
There's no doubt...
Partial, that's what
no I doubt it impacts on things, but anyway.
Well, the Richmond people, we just keep signing up year after year.
Jim, that's worked well, hasn't it? What about a quick word on the... What about a quick word on the teams that... we will no longer see for 2016 before...
Start at the bottom. Work your way up.
Righto.
Who finished last? Richmond? That was exciting, wasn't it?
Essendon.
It was an exciting finish to see who finished bottom, wasn't it?
It was.
Said it last week. I reckon Essendon had an amazing season, given where they were at.
Three wins.
Supposed to win a game, won three, being competitive in so many others.
12 players to come back.
I'll get a lot of members out.
11.
Saturday was an uplifting day for the club, wasn't it?
Kept all but one of those players, it would seem. Job's going to sign back on surely. And... And they've exposed some young talent like Zach Merritt and the like. Parrish, they're going to be good.
Yep.
Brisbane Lions, well, spoken about them.
Yep.
We have. How long till Brisbane are the finals contenders?
Some people say they've got a very exciting young list, and a coach would, young potential coaches would be looking at that going, oh, there's a lot to like here. Shacky and...
They've certainly got size, haven't they, in their young talent.
They got Dane Beams,
who
didn't play at all this year.
When's he going to be back?
He'll be back.
Okay.
So they're not as bad as you think.
Right, who was
that's a plum team? Job. AFL pouring the money in, a la Melbourne, that is a good job to get.
Gold Coast?
Well, they got a lot of draft picks.
Yeah.
No, picks are like...
They'll change their captain. They got the best full forward in the game, young full
like
forward in the game.
They just need players, which you spoke about.
A great
about.
Man
Fremantle
as a coach.
Finished third last.
Yeah, Fremantle.
So that's going to be
Frio,
musical chairs over there.
Yeah, I mean, they get Fife back. They'll
Valentine's gone.
Valentine may or may not be gone. I think it's good. I think if they can get something for him, then take it. Maine will be gone.
Been
probably
to
North
Melbourne. There's a shock.
Yeah.
Someone said Ballantyne's straight swap for Cam McCarthy.
Yeah, that could happen, but I don't think Ballantyne's too keen on playing
in a premiership. Yeah, I can understand.
They've been linked with Shane Kirsten as well as a swap there for the Cats, but I can't see them picking up Ballantyne. Geelong?
Geelong, then. Oh, I thought you were going
to. Carlton, we spoke
disappointing,
about.
Sam, to lose that game, and really all that work you did early has been undone by the last little period, although you did beat Melbourne.
Not sure what a win would have, or a loss would have changed anything, to be honest.
He's not sure what a win would do.
Well, it wouldn't change anything. Doesn't change where they're at. It's going to get a heck of a lot darker before it gets better there, no doubt about that. But it looks as though they nailed those picks. We'd like to see a little bit more of Harry McKay, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie Curnow looked good. So.
They were staring down a stat, which I was really disappointed in, that Matthew Wright kicked a goal early on Saturday because they didn't really get a chance in the coverage to get it out there. But they were going to be the first club since North Melbourne in 1972 to not have someone reach 20 goals.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the big thing in the off-season.
That's a great stat.
They just need a forward.
Unfortunately, Wright kicked his 20th goal like 5 minutes into the first
quarter. So Wright's the Carlton goal-kicking?
Yep.
Yeah. Matty Wright led the goal-kicking. And Carlton had what? Was it 16, 17 more inside 50s than Essendon? And yet couldn't
score. How many Casbolt kick?
Did he kick one?
I don't know.
I think he got one.
One goal.
That's what I mean.
No, this is for the year.
Oh, for the year. Yeah, one goal, 25. He listened. He was 17 or
really?
18 or something like that. So wow. Just less than a goal a game for your
yeah.
keeper.
What would... So yeah, nice.
Yeah. Anyway,
okay. That's,
so I don't know whether weird. they can get a key forward in, or whether they're just going to have to keep, you know, hope that
Travis
McKay
Bloke.
And Curno come on. And I wouldn't think Travis would go there.
I think you just keep going on the draft. Collingwood, Richmond, Melbourne.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Next
Port Adelaide. What about Revolt on the weekend, boys?
Well,
obviously, our producers reckon we're just waning a little bit here. So.
Never kicked 10, almost did it again. But
a fair point.
Fourth time he's kicked 9.
Do you reckon Daniel Merritt's playing that game, second-guessing whether he should retire or not? He's chasing Nick Riewoldt around Etihad Stadium, and Nick Riewoldt's probably playing. Has there been a better... On paper, that would be the best individual game of the season, just about, wouldn't it? 21 marks, 9 goals, 26 touches.
Mm. Yeah, he should retire on the back of that.
Brent Harvey style form to be terminated on, I would have thought.
I liked all the people holding up the big sauce bottles in the outer too. It was a good touch.
We were looking for it. You know, there's a big sauce. You know how there is that big sauce bottle up the back.
Oh, there is. Yeah.
And Eddie had it. We were hoping we're watching on
that
TV.
Someone would steal it.
Merritt had a shot for goal. I was hoping that sauce would kick the sauce. And anyway, there you go. Small things. Around the grounds.
Yeah.
Tell me about Around the Grounds, which is going to be in the Herald Sun.
Yeah, this
starting
weekend.
Tomorrow.
This weekend, or starting tomorrow, is it? Launching tomorrow. There you go. Running for a while. It's basically a look back on what we all love, suburban footy at suburban grounds. And don't we wish we still had a little bit of that in the AFL? So we're looking back at the great
down at Geelong.
At the great grounds, Victoria Park, Princess Park, you know, the Western Oval, Moorabbin.
Punt Road Oval.
Moorabbin was good. Punt Road, of course.
You didn't ever see a game at Punt Road Oval?
No, I didn't. No, they stopped playing there in 64, I think. So
Waverley will feature as well.
Waverley, what a great suburban,
the elephant.
Old suburban ground that was.
It was easy to get to.
Etihad Stadium, will that get a run?
What about the car park at Waverley? Gee, that was tough going.
Yeah, big quagmire.
I heard a great story there about a commentator, current leading commentator, who's after a game did a burnout in the car park and accidentally knocked one of his teammates over and dislocated his shoulder. And he had to keep it a secret till they got to training on the Tuesday, and the players sort of come in and pretended to run a lap and fall over in the gutter. He's come over, the doctor said, "Oh, I've just done my shoulder." And
because at those grounds, you used to be
that Richo?
No, go a bit back to the 80s. Just talk to BT about that.
Okay. You used to be able to access the players, couldn't you? I remember the Princess Park. I'll never forget Darren Milburn ironing out Stephen Silvani.
Yeah, I was there at that.
And boy, were they happy with that.
What year was that? That was 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Were you early 2000s?
Too young to be wearing. How long ago was that?
I reckon that was
6.
I was calling the
98.
Game.
You were calling the game.
97?
No, later, I reckon.
How long have you been calling for?
Oh, you know, you're right.
Quite a while.
No, seriously. What was your first year?
Well, 95 was my first year on AW.
95?
Yeah.
Wow.
Carlton's premiership.
A few years before that with various little things, for 6PR and whatever.
Yeah, babyface.
So that's 21 years of AFL.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Jeepers.
No wonder I get grumpy about some of the games I have to watch.
No, so many great stories. So they're going to explore all those. The great grounds, the great stories.
What's your favourite suburban ground?
Oh, it's hard to go past Princess Park. No. Just iconic. Great, best surface in the comp.
One of my great loves was Princess Park. Was when I was living in
Heatley Stand,
Royal Parade, and I'd just come down to Melbourne.
Yep, and you sneak in at three quarter time.
It was the early 90s, and Carlton were terrible.
Yeah, good.
And hear them all abuse their. I hated Carlton at that stage. Grew up in Bendigo, and everyone prayed for Carlton in Bendigo, except I didn't. And they just turned on their own. It was fantastic as an anti-Carlton supporter to watch them turn on their own. Sammy would have been there yelling at his own team.
Robert Menzies used to drive his car up into the crowd, and
nothing better than Carlton always used to kick last quarter to the Heatley Stand end, and it'd just be absolutely rocking.
They'd always kick that way, would they, in the last quarter?
That's how they'd try to orchestrate it. The crowd would almost suck the ball in through the goal.
Is that the end where Bizzusto took his hanger in the goal square?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
You called that one too.
I wasn't meant for possession.
Not Carlton, but Malcolm Blight's big torpy went through.
Yes, that was that end. That was the end that Menzies used to park his car.
I remember Bizzusto's goal out at Waverley, though. I was there that day. That was a semi-final, I think, against Geelong. He went around Ian Nankervis, 1980, snapped the goal.
Goal of the year?
Goal of the
year. And mark of the year in the 1 year?
Yep, it was a great goal, and it really, I hated it.
I love those intimate grounds. It would be great to play.
I wouldn't say Waverley was an intimate crowd.
That was not, no. That was Arctic Park.
It was all right out there. I didn't mind it.
So the funny thing with Waverley is everyone bagged it, and then I was working radio when it closed down, and then suddenly, as soon as it was announced that it was going, there was all this emotion, save Waverley.
Well, it was like the old MCC state grandstand they knocked down. Yep. Everyone wanted to keep that. It was a dump.
Yeah.
Built in the 50s.
Yep, just...
Actually, the bull ring, I will say, the bull ring, the new bull ring is nowhere near as good as the old bull ring.
No, they should have kept the old stand.
That was sensational.
The overall stand, though, is very good.
It is, but the bull ring, they should have just kept that.
All right, give us your tips for the first week. What are we going to talk about next? Have we got a show next Monday or not? What are we going to talk about next Monday?
Trades.
Okay.
We'll be ramping up.
Give us your early tip on the four finals then, boys.
Second elimination final, West Coast Western Bulldogs. I reckon the Dogs will give a far greater account of themselves. But West Coast form, they're playing great footy at the right time, so it's a bit hard to go past the Eagles for
me. Eagles for me.
Just.
Geelong and Hawthorn.
Cats. Too tall. I reckon it'll be contested mark frenzy.
18th in the comp, contested marking Hawthorn this season.
That is so you're riding off Jack already, eh?
Well, that's true.
He's a one-man show at the moment, Jack. He can't do it on his own.
How did he play for the rest of the game?
He was okay.
Kicked two.
Yeah, he's okay. Yep.
What about Sydney and GWS?
This is the big one. This could be the start of Frankenstein's run.
Sydney.
If the Giants can win, they could well win the next seven premierships in a row.
If there was one team...
Well, let's face it, they could.
And then they won't be able
it's
to
It's a ridiculous list.
If there was, if there was one team Sydney didn't want to play in the first week of the finals, I reckon it was the Giants.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
It's Adelaide, the one team no one wants to play.
Yeah. Adelaide,
Sydney.
At this stage, I'll tip Sydney, but poor.
They've lost the home ground advantage.
I think the Giants... They're at full strength. I mean,
John Patton's gone from... He's never kicked more than three in a game. Last 2 weeks, gone 5 and 6. We hear he's been mentored by Wayne Carey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So look out.
The other thing is, Jeremy Cameron, they played a very...
Decoy.
Yeah, clever role on the weekend. It was very well done. And Adelaide...
Stevie J, how good was he?
Adelaide North.
It's another one that could be closer than what we expect. And North would no doubt have done their homework on what we spoke about earlier, not allowing those over the backs, but... I mean, you'd have to say Adelaide. I don't think they're cooked at all.
So on that basis, that would be Geelong through to the prelim and either Sydney or... Cats are in it, aren't they? Yep, your man Danger, does he get the Brownlow?
Yeah.
Oh, there should be an inquiry if he doesn't. National inquiry.
Mm.
Don't forget Jeff Raines, 1980. $2 favourite, not one vote. Not one vote.
I don't think that'll happen.
One of the great... Brownlow stories like that is Luke Darcy the year he was favourite.
Is he favourite?
Yeah, he was favourite to win the Brownlow. Ruckman the year he won the MVP. And he had the pub, the Angler's Tavern, and Channel 10 who was doing the...
Were you doing the Brownlow?
I would have been doing it. I wasn't hosting it.
Have you ever hosted the Brownlow?
No, I haven't and don't want to. I don't really want to be... Too much pressure.
Right. Should congratulate Danger too, Mick, actually, because he saluted in the famous Herald Sun Player of the Year Award.
No thanks to a clomp that you gave him.
And he was
ended up winning by about 7 votes.
He was worth every vote too, I would
have. I don't know if you watched the Geelong game of the weekend.
I was doing the other game. I haven't seen a lot of it yet.
There is a period in the game. He's got the ball at a free kick. Deep in the back flank, and he's tucked up on the boundary, and you think, right, he's just going to kick. He just took off and went past about 5 blokes, hit Harry Taylor on the tit, he kicked a goal from 60, and just like, how did he do that? Mm. He is a freak.
Can I finish my story or not?
Yes, well, didn't know you were
talking about. Luke Darcy.
So I'm just written off there.
He was the favourite. And he had a pub, I don't know, whatever, in the 2000s somewhere. He had a pub, the Angler's Tavern, out at...
It's knocked down now.
Is it?
Maribyrnong River.
Maribyrnong River.
Opposite Flemington Racecourse.
And so they said, Channel 10 said to him, can we get a live cross to the pub and we'll cross to your family and, you know, a couple of times during the night or whatever.
Oh, no.
And he didn't want to do it, but he was told by the clever producer, who he's never forgiven, that... 3 other players were going to be doing it.
So right through the Brownlow.
He's at the Brownlow and they're doing this crosses festival after, you know, round three and it's all hope and there's all his family there and the excitement. Then by round 5 and he hasn't got a vote. Well, we've got a cross to the cross. He hasn't been the start. They would all. So it was the most embarrassing thing for him.
And
there you go.
That couldn't happen this year?
What, Darcy won't get any votes?
No, but the favourite doesn't always win.
No. Imagine if Darcy polled well.
But Danger's a...
Darcy. Darcy Moore.
Luke Darcy.
But
go on.
Danger is a good poller, so I can't imagine that he won't poll well. Rising Star?
Caleb Daniel.
Callum Mills.
Yeah, Callum Mills for me. All right, that's it. We're done for another week. That's it for the home and away season for the Super Footy podcast. You can find us Monday afternoons at Super Footy website, iTunes and SoundCloud. For all your other news, don't forget to follow at Super Footy on Twitter and use the hashtag TradeHQ. We've got a new hashtag. TradeHQ to get involved with comments or questions ahead of the next episode. That's it for today. Catch you next week. Have a great week, everyone.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.